Okay, today's daf is Daf Nun Zayin. We're going to start right at the top. I'll just review for a minute what we finished with yesterday. We were learning about brothers who inherit property, and then they divide the property, and then they become partners again. And what we said was that there were two tracks of understanding it. Either they're considered that they've purchased the rights to each part from the other brother, and then you would have to hold ein brera, right, that we can't retroactively determine which part belonged to each brother, and that's why, so that down the road, some brother doesn't come and say, hey, that's really mine. Because of that, you have to, it's as if they did a kinyan, in which case they're lekuchot, which has ramifications for maaser behema, and we talked about the kalbon. Now we're really going to focus on the maaser behema. The other option is to say, no, when they divide up, and then when they become partners again, then it's as if a new partnership develops and it's treated as a partnership. If you view yesh brera, that means that when, again, let's take the classic case of brera, you have a jug of wine and you want to drink it, you're on a path or it's Shabbat and you can't do true on a masrot. So what do you say? You say, well, when I finish, I'll leave over a little bit and that will be true on a masrot. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that you can't determine at this point what's going to be at the bottom because the wine moves around all the time. And therefore, if you say yesh brera, then you can do it because what it means is when whatever is left at the bottom, we could say that that's as if it was as if that was the part that was designated from the beginning. Otherwise, you say ein brera, then you can't do it. So now, so the issue here is that when they divide up the property, it's as if that part was designated for that son to begin with, and that part was designated for that son to begin with. And therefore, when they split it up, each one just sort of takes whatever its his property was supposed to be, and when they come back into partnership, it's as if it just reverts back to what it was before, in which case it's viewed as one property and not divided up into different sons. And then we have this machloket between Rav Anan and Rav Nachman, and also between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, about whether we're only talking about the part where it's tisha keneged asara and asara keneged tisha, where it was imbalanced, or do we even say if they took exactly the same amount, nine animals versus nine, right, nine gedim and not and ten, whatever it might be, they split up exactly. Still, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even in that way, we still don't say that it reverts back to the beginning, because again, he says, ein brera. Okay, so now they're talking about Rabbi Yochanan. Ba'asa Rabbi Yochanan l'ta'ameh. Rabbi Yochanan goes l'shitato. Ta'ama Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achim shachaku l'kuchotein. He says it elsewhere that brothers, when they divide a property, they're considered as if they purchased it from each other, their share. You can see, by the way, why this would all come up, because it's very complicated, as we all know, splitting up possessions. And the fact we want to preclude a future scenario where one of the brothers says, hey, you know, I really wanted that, and tries to prove that that's really his. Not, and here, in this case, he says the ramification of this is machzirim zeh lezeh biyovel. Ah, if we view them as lekuchot, now if you purchase something, it goes back in the yovel year. If you inherit it, and we view it 100% as inheritance, and you would say, it doesn't go back in the yovel year, this belonged to our family. I'm just kind of continuing my family. I have this part, my brother has that part, and we're done. So he says, no, since we view them as lekuchot, we view them as lekuchot all the way, meaning the property reverts back to its original status in the yovel, and then I guess they'd have to redivide up the property. Utsriche. Why did you need Rabbi Yochanan to say it here, and why did you need to say it in Maaser Behema? It's the same thing. My classic Gemara question. If it was obvious that we could learn one from the other, why do you need to say it in both places? So obviously they're now going to explain that you couldn't have learned one from the other. Why? If you had just learned it by Maaser Behema. Now, what comes out of Maaser Behema? If you view them as lekuchot, then they're going to be patur from Maaser Behema, because there's no Maaser Behema by if you purchase the animal. So you would have said, Bahakam Rabbi Yochanan. Only in Maaser Behema would you say this. Why? Because where do we start with? You remember the pasuk at the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Bet, Bechor Banecha Titen Li, Kein Ta'aseh L'Shorcha U'Litzoncha, which meant that we're comparing Bechor Ben to Bechor of animals, but since we don't really need it, it's not relevant for Bechor of animals, we're going to learn from there to Maaser Behema. So basically, it has to be a case where it's like a child, your son. Ma Dincha Bebaror Lecha, when it's your son, it's clear that that son is yours. And in this case, right, it's not barur lecha exactly whether, right, because you split it with your brother. Aval sadeh mecher hu d'amar rachman alehadar b'yovel, yirushal matana lo. But when it comes to yovel, what do we say? That only if you purchased it. And here, it wasn't really a purchase. And that's, yes, we view it as a purchase, but it was really an inheritance. And when it comes to dina yovel, inheritance and gifts are excluded from yovel, and therefore, you would think that Rabbi Yochanan would say, well, this isn't really a sale. But that's why you need a Rabbi Yochanan to say no. They're so much viewed as if they're purchasing one from the other that they would have to return it zeh lezeh b'yovel. V'iyash minan sadeh. Now, what if we just had the sadeh case? So maybe you could have learned from that to Maaser Behema. So all the more so in Maaser Behema when it has to be like the bincha, and the bincha, it's only when it's clear that it's yours, you chayav. But what could you say? L'chumra. Sadeh, now notice, each case, if we view them as l'kuchot, like Rabbi Yochanan says, it's different in each case. In the case of Yovel, we have to be machmir and return the sadeh to, you know, the way it was before. If we say maaser behema there l'kuchot, we're actually being mekel, because we're saying you don't actually have to do maaser behema. So therefore, you might have said he only said it b'sadeh l'chumra. Inami l'chatchila, or else we just want to say in Yovel everything reverts back to its original status. But aval hacha, but my maaser behema, neither of those issues are relevant. Ema lo, you might have thought not. Shrichet, that's why you need it.
Does Rav Nochanan always hold that there's no brera, or just in this case?
That's a good question. I'm assuming he always does, because I remember we've had cases where we've talked about brera, not brera, and then we've said, well, doesn't he hold somewhere else? Yesh Brera, and we had disagreements about it. So it would be a good question to check. I didn't do a good check about whether he might not mention it in other places. It was also noted, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say the words Yesh Brera here, which is also interesting. Rashi explains it has to do with Brera. But the Pshat in the Gemara, like, it doesn't say the words Yesh Brera, but the assumption is that that's what's underlying. Meitive. Now we're going to ask a question on the other Shita. The Shita that says Yesh Brera. V'chein ha-shutafim shechalku. Echad natan. Now they're giving a case of, this is a braita, shutafim that divided up property. Echad natal asara ve'echad natal tish'a v'kelef. One took 10 lambs, and the other had 9 lambs and a dog. Okay. She'kenegad ha-kelef asurim v'she'im ha-kelef mutarim. Now, the ones that the 10 lambs that were keneged, the 9 and the dog, are asurim. You can't sacrifice them. Why can't you sacrifice them? Because you can't sacrifice something that was bought for the price of a dog, right? You sold a dog for this. So you have 9 and a dog on one side, 10 on the other. When the brothers split the property, again, if we say ein brera, if we say yesh brera, we could say retroactively it was clear this dog was his. But if you say ein brera, then what do you say? Really, the dog belonged to both, and one purchased rights to the lamb, the one who purchased the 10 lambs, purchased rights to the lamb by selling the dog to the other brother. Now, what does that mean? That his 10 lambs are keneged the dog. Okay?
Well, one of them? All 10 of them.
Ah, yafeh. So that depends. That's the whole issue. That depends on what you say about brera. So if you say shekeneged akelav asurim v'sheim akelav mutarim, that's the ones with the dog are fine because they weren't purchased for a kelav, they were purchased for 10 lambs. So that's fine. But the ones neged akelav, the 10 lambs, are problematic.
But you can only do masar 9 if you have a 10th somewhere else anyway.
What?
But you can only do
So we're not talking about masir here. We're talking about, are they usher for a korban? Okay, can you sacrifice them? Okay, I assume that's what it is. So now they say like this. Imamar yesh brera, so it's very easy. You wouldn't have to say exactly as you said, Ruth. Let's just say one of them. Livur chabinayu lebahadi kelev velishkol. V'hanach lishtru. Let's just say, if you can say brera, then you can say, it's as if when I took the dog, I can designate retroactively one of your lambs. I can basically sacrifice all the other 9 lambs and say the one that was left, that was the one that I purchased the dog for. If you use brera, then you can use it like that. By the way, here the Gemara talks about brera, so therefore it's obvious that they're talking about brera here. Amar Rav Ashi, I deshavu kulu lahadade hachinami. He says, in fact, you're right. Really, this would be a problem, according to the theory of yesh brera, if they were actually all equal to each other. But he says, I can explain the brayta in a way that it won't contradict yesh brera. Why? Because hacha b'mayas kinan, de lo shavu kulu lahadade, v'shavu hai kal b'chad v'mashu, v'hai mashu mashach v'ate b'kulu. He says, what's the case here? It's not that each, I'll use the case that Rashi brings. Rashi says, right, it's not where everything was worth five zuzim equally. Okay? Each kelev, each lamb, you know, the one kelev and all the lambs. And then we could say, okay, in that case, if the lamb was worth five and the dog was worth five, we'd say 1 to 1, and the other nine would be fine if you say yesh brera. But the braita, when it says that you can't do that, is because the dog is worth five zuzim, and the lambs are each worth four, the lambs on the other side are worth 4.1. So now what's the issue? The issue is, in that case, the dog, if you switch it for one lamb, you don't have enough of the amount. You only have 4.1. You're still missing 0.9 of a zuz. And how are you going to get the 0.9 of a zuz? Well, the most logical way would be to take 0.1 away from each of the lambs. In which case, this dog is viewed as being purchased from all the lambs together. Okay, so it says, Hai mashu, the mashu that's left, is mashach ba'ate b'kulu. It comes from all of the lambs. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to see all the exceptions to the rule of the ones that don't go into the dearly tasera, although we'll see this machloket about this. And then the Gemara is going to add in particular ones that are added that you wouldn't have thought would actually go in ladirli taser. Kulam nechnesim ladirli taser chutz min kilaim utrefa v'yotzei dofen u'chutzos man v'hayatom. Okay, the animal that's a crossbreed of two types. A trefa. Okay, we're going to see there's a bit of a difference between the trefa and all the others from where we learn it out. We'll see when we get to the Gemara. A yotzei dofen, born by C-section. Mechusar zman, it's still within the first 7 days of its life. We saw yesterday there was a machloket about this. And the yatom. Ezehu yatom, what does it mean to be a yatom in this case? Kol shemeta ima o shenishchetav. The mother dies or is slaughtered. V'achar kach yalda, basically in childbirth. Either she dies on her own or she's slaughtered. And then the animal is born. So it's born without a mother. Rabbi Yoshua omer, afilu nishchita ima v'hashelach kayam. Even if you slaughter the mother, but this hide is still in existence, ein ze yatom, that's not a yatom. Again, we'll see this in the Gemara, why that is. So the Gemara starts off, menan emile, where do we get that all these are exceptions? Titanu rabanan, shur o kesev, prat lekilayim. Okay, now we're talking about which pasuk are we darshaning. The pasuk that says, on the eighth day you're allowed to sacrifice the animal, but not before. Okay, I'll read you the whole pasuk. It's from Vayikra Kafbet Kafzayin. Shur o kesev o ez ki vale v'haya shivat yamim tachad imo u'miyom ha-shmini v'hala yiratze l'korban yishel ha-Hashem. So how did they darshan this? Shur o kesev. Why does it say shur o kesev? It said shur v'kesev. It teaches you prat l'kilayim, to exclude a crossbreed. It has to be either this or this. O ez. Then it says shur o kesev o ez. What does that come to include or exclude? Prat l'nidme. Remember we had a whole thing about that. If two animals that are the same type give birth to an animal that looks like a different type of animal, that's going to be excluded. You can't bring that as a sacrifice. Ki valed prat li yotzei dofen. Okay, only if it's born naturally, not C-section. Vayashivat yamim prat l'mechusar zman. It has to be 7 days old. If it has to be 8 days old. If it's 7 days old or less, then it can't be brought as a sacrifice. Tachat imo, that comes to teach you, prat liyatom, not an animal whose mother died. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer. Now, how do we get, now this is all, okay, before we move on, this is all about a sacrifice. This isn't about maaser behema. So now we have to figure out how we learn all these exclusions are true also for maaser behema. So for that, we have Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says, Ne'amar kan tachat hashevet, remember, kol asher yavor, tachat hashevet, that's our case of maser behema. Ve'ne'amar lahalan tachat imo, and here it says tachat imo, k'seira shava, you have two of the same word, tachat appears there, tachat appears here. Mala, now we're going to have the k'seira shava goes in both directions. Just like lahalan, in the case of the sacrifices, prat l'kol ha-shemot halalu, it excludes that whole list we just said, right? Kilaim, yotzei dofen, mechusar zman, and yatom. That's four out of the five in our Mishnah. Afkam, prat l'kol ha-shemot halalu. So therefore, we're going to learn those four exclusions. What about the trefa? The trefa actually is learned out directly from Maaser Behema. And they're going to learn from Maaser Behema to sacrifices, because trefa didn't appear on the sacrifice pasuk. Makam, prat l'trefa. Af l'halam, prat l'trefa. Now, how do we know a trefa can't be used for maser behema? Because what does it say? Kol asher yavor tachad hashevet, he has to be able to walk. And what did we learn? One of the trefot are its leg is broken from the arkuva ulamata. Remember, from arkuva lamala, the upper part of the leg is broken, or he's missing the bones. So what do you know? So if he can't walk in that case, then he's obviously excluded. So from there they learn all trefot, and from there they learn because of the gzeirah shava, all sort of sacrifices a trefot can't be brought. So those are all the exclusions. So now we learned the exclusions all come from the gzeirah shava of tachat, right, or from the trefa, which is from Asher Yavor. Hakol atu yemai. But now the Mishnah also said, all go into the dir letaser except for these. It could have just said, these are exceptions. Why did it say all of them? It must be coming to include. What's it coming to include? Hakol atu yemai. Latuye hadetanu rabanan. Harovea bahanirba bahamukta bahaneva bahaenam bahamachir betumtum bahandroginus. Kulam nechnesim ledir letaser. Now you might have thought, since maaser theoretically is supposed to be sacrificed on the mizbeach, therefore maybe all these animals which can't be sacrificed on the mizbeach, we'll go through each one in a minute. Since all these things can't be sacrificed on the mizbeach, you might have thought you're not maaser. Hakol comes to say they are nechnesim ledir letaser, because remember, even though they're all supposed to be sacrificed maaser behema, in the case where it's blemished, you can actually slaughter it outside the mikdash. So therefore, all these cases are actually, you do have to put it in the dearly gaser, and it could theoretically become sanctified, and then you just wouldn't bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, because there's a separate problem that you can't sacrifice it, but you would be able to, it would have Kedushat Maaser, which again, you wait till it got a blemish, and then you'd be able to slaughter. So what are these cases? Rovea Nirba, right, it had sexual relations with a person, or it was, you know, mated with a person, and then it was more passive. Va'mukse was designated for avodah zara but not used. Va'nevad, it was used for avodah zara. Va'etnan, it was given as a gift to a prostitute. Umuchir, it was sold for a dog. And tumtum v'androgynous, right? The tumtum has, you don't know whether it has simanei zachut u'nikevut, it's hidden. And androgynous has both simanim of nikevot and zcharim. So now we'll get into tumtum v'androgynous soon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Tumtum v'androgynous ein nechnesim l'dir l'taser. He disagrees about the tumtum v'androgynous and thinks that they don't go into the dir l'taser. V'tana didan. So now we have to explain the Tana of our Mishnah. So when our Mishnah said hakol atu yemai, and we assume he's coming to include all these cases, so why would he be including all these cases? Igamar tachat tachat mikodshim. If we make the gzeirah shava to kodshim, what do we just say? Anything that can't be brought as a sacrifice, like a mechusar zman and a yatom and a kilaim, all those are excluded. So should this also be excluded? Haninami lo. These also should be excluded. Vi lo yalef. And if you don't learn tachat tachat, haniminale. Now we're back to our original question. Where would you learn the others from if you don't have the tachat tachat gzeirah shava? How would you know that kilaim and yosei dofen and mechusar zman and yatom are excluded? So what are the answer? Lo lam gamir. We do learn tachat tachat. But why are these particular ones included instead of excluded? Hane Rachmana Rabinu. The Torah included these by a special pasuk. How so? Dichtiv ki moshchatam bahem mumbam lo yeratzu lachem. Okay, this is, it's Vayikar Kaf Bekafe. It starts off with miyad ben nechar lo takrivo lechem elohechem mikol ele ki moshchatam bam, because these are despised. Mumbam, they have a blemish. Now, this extra word, it could have just said ki mumbam. Why did it say mashchatam? Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, kol makom shne'amar bo hashchata, eno ela dvar erva. Okay? Hashchata means dvar erva ve'avodah zara. Okay, when you see the root shin chet tav, you know that it means erva and avodah zara. So, what's the connection? How do you know that? Okay, we haven't yet explained. But first we're explaining that pasuk moshchatan means avodah zarah and erva. Then we're going to have to get it to connect to prove why these things, which then we're going to have to say why moshchatan is avodah zarah, then and avodah gilui arayot. Then we're going to say all the things in our list that we said fit into one of those two categories. And then we're going to have to say what this has to do with maaser behemah and why they're included. So it's a few steps. So how do we get this? Dvar erva. How do we know that shin chet taf is dvar erva? Dichtiv ki hishchit kol basar da kol haaretz. Dor mabul. one of the things they did was Giloy Arayot, and it says Hishchit. So there we have Giloy Arayot. Avodah Zara Dechtiv. Pen Tashchitum Vasitam Lechem Pesel Tmunat Kol Semel Tavnit Zacharu Nekeva. There you have Pen Tashchitun in the context of making Psalim Avodah Zara. So that's the first thing. Shin Chet Tav is Erva or Avodah Zara. We've just proven that. And now, how does this connect? Kol shahamum posel bo. Now look at the pasuk again. Ki moshchetam bahem mum bam lo yiratzu. If the mum is posel bo, then dvar erva avodah zarah poslim bo. If a mum means this animal can't, let's say, be brought as a sacrifice, then erva and avodah zarah are also psulim for the following. But kol she'ein amum posel bo. But when if you're an animal and you have a mum, can you not do maser behema? No, you can. You can actually bring it to sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash, like it's ideally supposed to be done, but you actually can use it as one of the ten. And it can even become the ten. How do we know this? We'll see in a second. But that's what it means, kol she'en amum posel bo. So since the mum is la posel in maser behema, therefore, ein dvar ervav avodah zarah poslim bo. Since the avodah zarah and gilui ariot come together in the pasuk with the mum, it means if a mum will disqualify it, then avodah zarah and dvar erva will be disqualified. But if it's not, like in our case, now how do we know it's not? V'hai maser ho'il v'lo pasal b'mume dichtiv lo yivaker ben tov l'ra v'lo yimirenu. What do we learn? You can't choose your better ones and your worst ones, meaning even the bad ones, like the blemished animals, still go in the lineup. Now, it's not exactly true. The blemished ones don't actually go in the lineup because we talked about that. You're patur if you have a blemish. I just realized that, so I have to think about that. Kol shamum posel bo. I guess they just mean that ra means animals that have that let's say were worshipped for avodah zarah. They're going to say, okay, so this Gemara seems to imply that lo yivaker ben tov l'ra means even if it has a mum, it can go as part of the ten. So I have to look into that because we had a question, because that seems to contradict when we suggested that when they were talking about that nobody does maser behema, they suggested that theoretically you could put a mum in all your animals and then you wouldn't be chayav and maser behema. So maybe if they're all balei mumim, I don't know. But anyway, right now they're assuming a mum is not posel. So what do they say? Therefore, dvar erva v'avodah zarah nami lo pasel ben. Okay, they won't disqualify. Now, the one thing we didn't exactly explain is where each of these fall into what category. So Robea v'nirba, everything has to fall into either avodah zarah or gilui ariot in order for us to have this theory that that's why the reason why all these are included. Again, these are all included because they're considered ra. How do we know they're considered ra? Because they come in the pasuk with the mum shachat, right? And therefore, dvar erva and avodah zarah. So now what did they say? Robea v'nirba, dvar erva. Muksa v'nevad, avodah zarah, right? Those are avodah zarah. Ednan is Dvar Erva. Okay, those are pretty easy. What about the Mechir Kelev? That's neither. Itkish le'Ednan. Because Mechir Kelev comes in the pasuk next to the Ednan, it gets categorized with that. So if Ednan's included, then that's going to be included. Tumtum v'androgynus, what's their reason? They're not Dvar Erva or Avodah Zarah. Kasavar Sveikahu. He assumes they're Safek. Remember, there were two ways to look at it. Is it Safek or is it Briah b'fnei atzma? More with the androgynous. Some people view it as a b'gab b'fnei atzma, but he holds their sefek. So if they're sefek, whether they're zachar or they're nekeva, no matter what, you're chayav in maser behema, because maser behema applies to either zacharim or nekevot. So if it's sefek and you don't know which one, well, then obviously it's still chayav. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, kasavar, why does he exclude the tumtum and androgynous? Kasavar sveikahu. However, even though he holds it sveika, mi rachmana gabe kodshim zachar vadai unikeva vadait velo tumtum vandroginus. When it comes to kodshim, you can't have, in other words, even if you view them as suffik, you're not allowed to bring a suffik animal. It has to be a vadai zachar or a vadai nikeva. Since that's the case for kodshim, what's he obviously going to hold? Maser nami gamar tacha tacha mi kodshim. We have the gzera shava from kodshim, and that's how we get to maser also. So that's the machloka by Tumtum and Androgynous. Do we learn it out from Kachim or do we not learn it out from Kachim? Tanu Rabbanan. Hakol nechnesim ladir litaser chutz mena kilayim v'atreifa. Now notice, this braita only excludes kilayim and treifa and not the others in the list. Again, we're going to have to say, how do you get to kilayim and treifa and not anything else? Divrei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Ish Kvar, Bar Tuta, Shamar Mishum, Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, this was passed down in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ani Shamati Hemenu, Af Yotzei Dofen, Umchusar Zman B'Yaton. Rabbi Akiva says, I heard in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Ish Bar Tuta, even the Yotzei Dofen, the Mechusar Zman, and the Yaton. Okay, all those cases mentioned in our Mishnah. B'tana Kama, so now they're going to go to the first opinion. E Gamar, oh sorry, I said it wrong. It's Rabbi Akiva heard in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. Sorry, I confused the names. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Ishkar Bar Tuta says in the name of Rabbi Yoshua that it's just Kilayim and Trefa that are out. And Rabbi Akiva said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua that it's all of them that are out. So now they say, I don't understand Tanakama, which is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda. E gamar tacha tacha mikodshim hane nami lo. Right? In other words, either you, how'd you get to Kilayim? Must have been from the Gzeirah Shava, tacha tacha. If you're going to have that Gzeirah Shava, well then all should be excluded. V'i lo gamar, and if not, so then the question is going to be about kilayim. Bishlam a treifa, I understand, because kol ha'sheyavor tachat ha'sheva, then he can't walk. Prat la treifa. She'en overit, right? That excludes a treifa that can't go tachat ha'sheva. Ela kilayim minale, but where do we learn kilayim from? So they say, la'olam gamar. Really, he does hold the gzera shava, and that's how he gets to kilayim. Dofen, but now we're going to have that all these other three, he has a different view about them. Each one for a different reason. When it comes to Yotze Dofen, Savra Laka Rabbi Shimon, Da'amar Yotze Dofen Vladma Al Yehu. When it says Ki Vale, what do we say? Ki Vale comes to exclude a C-section, because that's not a normal way of birth. According to Rabbi Shimon, he says, no, a C-section is a normal way of birth. It's another possible way of giving birth. And therefore, that would be of Lab Ma'alia. That would be Ki Vale would include the Yotzei Dofen, and therefore he thinks the Yotzei Dofen could be brought as a sacrifice, and therefore also for Maser Behema. Udeloke Rabbi Yochanan. And that disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan's approach, because he doesn't agree with that. B'mechusar Zman, Savar Laki Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda. There we saw that yesterday. The Mechusar Zman, there was a Machloket. One opinion, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda said what? The Mechusar Zman, within the first 7 days, it still goes in the Dearly Taser. Why is that? Because it's just like Bechor. Bechor is sanctified immediately, even though you actually can't sacrifice it for another seven, until you get to the eighth day. Likewise, the Maser Behema, even though it can't be sacrificed yet, it still could be part of the count of the ten. Yatom, what about a yatom? Kigon shashalach kayam. Ah, when he says yatom is not excluded, because he means in a case where the hide is still kayam. And that makes sense, because that was Rabbi Yoshua, and that matches Rabbi Yoshua in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yoshua l'ta'ameh. He was the one in our Mishnah who said, Da'amar afilu shachatet imo vashalach kayam, ein ze yatom. He specifically was the one who said, if you shach the mother but the hide is still intact, that's not a yatom. Now we're going to see finally what the hide being intact has anything to do with anything. Hei Rabbi Yishmael ben Satriel. Apparently he comes up only one time in Shas, and they're going to give him a bit of a bama here to say a bunch of really strange things. The first one is kind of normal, but after that, or I don't know, maybe it's not actually so normal. The rest of his statements are kind of out there. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Satriel me'er kat levena. Some people say, by the way, look at his name. What's Satriel? Sitrei El, and he has the secrets of God. Okay, maybe that's why a bunch of people gave these sort of strange, his statements are strange to begin with, and they tried to understand that something more, it was something more, you know, like the Olam, right, Kabbalistic going on in his statements. He was from Erkat Levena, which also, by the way, doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas, as far as I could tell. So he testified, Lifnei Rebbe, Bimkomenu mafshitin et hameta umabishim et hachai. Where we live, okay, maybe that's interesting. This place was never mentioned anywhere else. And maybe it was either some out there place or maybe it's almost a made up place, possibly. Right? And he's saying, in our place, we do strange things or strange things happen. One of the things we do is mafshitim et hameta umabishim et hachai. We take the skin off the dead animal, if the animal dies in childbirth, and we put it on the animal. So therefore, what do you see here? That the animal, if the hide is still intact, the animal lives off of something from the mother, right? It's as if he still has his mother because the hide of the mother is on him. So Amar Rebbe, when Rebbe heard this from Yishmael ben Sartiel, he said, Nitgalata amashal mishnatenu. Now I understand finally what our Mishnah meant. Okay, now I understand. Now he continues to give a bunch of other strange testimonies. Chazirim shebimkomenu. It's all bimkomenu, right? Where we live, they're the chazirim. Now it's not a chazir, a pig. It's the chazeret, the lettuce, the stalks of lettuce where we live. Yesh lehem shishim ribo klafim bebeit ha-hemses shelo. In the stomach, which means like the core of the lettuce, has 600,000 folds in it. Okay, so sounds like a very strange thing. Next story of his. Hamachad nafal erez echad shebimkomenu. One time a cedar tree, cedars are always thought of as the biggest, strongest trees, a cedar tree fell. Ve'avru sheshesre konot al chodo. 16 wagons drove side by side over its, what's the word they use for chodo? It's tip, it's peak. Okay? That's how gigantic it was. Okay, then on the peak of it, it could hold 16 wagons side by side. Pam achat nafla beitzat bar yochni. There was an egg that fell from the bar yochni bird. Bitav'a shishim krachim v'shavra shlosh meot arazim. Interesting, it goes back to the erez. How great the erez was, and look at this. One egg fell from this bird, and it drowned 60 villages and broke 300 cedar trees. So the Gemara asks, interesting question about this. You would think they'd ask a lot of other questions. The Gemara asks, "Umishadile?" But wait a minute. A bar yochni never drops its eggs. Haktiv, it says in the pasuk, "Knaf rinanim," which is a reference to this bar yochni bird. It's some very large bird. Ne'elsa, which they understand to mean was happy. Meaning, why was it happy? Because it kind of takes its birds, it goes up, it goes down. Some people say na'ala, and then it goes down, and then it places the egg gently into its nest.
A
very large egg. But obviously, what doesn't it do? It doesn't drop it. So how could you say it dropped its egg, and that's what happened? A bar yochni would never drop its egg. Amar Rav Ashi, hahu muzar tahavai. The one that dropped its egg was spoiled egg. Okay, it didn't have a chick inside, and therefore he dropped it because it was a bad one.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Like a little bit out, macro question.
Yeah.
It seems like they're comparing Bechorot to Maaser.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're trying to make Maaser be a little more kal. Do you get that impression too? Like they're trying to, and maybe, I'm trying to think about why. Like maybe it's because, like why would they want to be more inclusive?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because like it was just too hard to count every, like they have to keep all track of all these animals. To keep track of Bechor is easy. More easy.
Right. You set it aside right away. That's why they would put the red thing on it also.
But to keep track of who's going into the pen and who's going out and every 10th animal. Like,
right. And we're going to see tomorrow, which we referenced before already, that how did you make sure the Yatom and the Lakoch weren't included? Like you could see that they were struggling with how to make sure what's included, what's not included. Although I still wonder, I'm not so sure, because I think they were pretty much really on top of their animals. I think it's hard for us to imagine, but I think they really kept good track of their animals. And again, we talked about to bring for a sacrifice, you have to know how old it is. And like if they really were using these animals for all sorts of things, that was part of their job. They had to keep track of everything.
I also can't understand
why
a C-section is such a problem, because it's not like Petarechem. Like why dafka that? Do they have such a problem with that?
A problem? What do you mean a problem?
Like
saying that it's not leida? It's not leida.
Yeah. In this case. Like why?
Right, in this case, right. So first of all, you see there's a machloket about it, whether it is or not. Again, I think, and maybe the issue is, it's not so much that they're trying to be meichel, but they're trying, we saw this in Korbanot, where in each Korban, there were a lot of details, but each Korban didn't necessarily have all the details about everything.
Right,
they had to learn one from the other. They were constantly struggling to say, well, it doesn't say this, but yeah, we're going to learn this from there. I think also here, Maaser v'Hema, they just didn't really tell us very much about it. Which animals? They didn't say very much. So the struggle is to figure out, is it like a korban? Or is it like Bechor? And who do we learn it from? And where do we get it from? And it's more like trying to categorize, what does this fit into? Because the Torah didn't say very much about it. So it's like grasping at strings, really. Oh, it says kol she'yavur tachat hasheva. Well, then it has to walk, so it can't be a trefa. And tachat, well, we can learn tachat from there. It must be they're trying to connect it. That's the way the Torah works, right? We don't get all the details, and the rabbis are constantly trying to figure out, well, where does this fit into, and where is it the most logical place to fit into? And in a sense, yes, it's a korban, and that would be the most logical. On the other hand, sort of like b'chor, because it has this out, right? Once it's blemished. And a korbanless blemish, there's nothing you could do with it. You leave the animal to graze, all these horrible things where you had to kind of just animal just had to die. But or in some cases you could redeem it. But here it says lo yimacher ve lo yipadel, so you can't do that. So they had to, you know, it's all a matter of figuring out. So I don't know if it's so much a nitiyah lahakel, it's just trying to classify. It's like exactly what we have here. Okay, before we move on with these really bizarre stories, the question is, what are these stories doing here? So I wanted to mention two things about this, two explanations I saw, both quoted in the Quran. So the Maharal shows, basically his approach is that the things mentioned here are all about materialism, like the Erez is the height of materialism, they're basically trying to show like the downfall, this tree fell, the egg falls and destroys all the cedars and 60 cities and the destruction of the material world. Kind of saying that the metaphysical, you know, is gonna, or the spiritual is gonna overpower the physical world. That's one way of viewing it. The Maharsha shows that the Erez is a representative of Moshe. And he views the wagons passing over as like a passing over the tradition. Like all the tradition came from Moshe. Interesting image. And then with the Bar Yochni, he shows it's like Moshe smashing the Luchot, and that brought about the destruction of the people, and a remez to that. Interesting. I don't know what to make of this exactly. I don't have a good theory, and what this is doing here is another question, why we have this in the middle. Okay, and you know, then obviously also whether he existed, whether his city existed, right? It sounds like it's something from out in some world that nobody knows anything about. Mishnah. And maybe it's relating to the issue that we talked about not knowing, maybe it's exactly your question, that we don't exactly know, just like they didn't know in the Mishnah, why the high being intact would be reflective of anything. And then comes this man bringing the Sitre El, you know, the secrets from God, and Rebbe says, now I finally get it. And maybe the idea is saying that there's all sorts of things we don't understand in the world, and like this, where there's a lot of details that we don't understand, and somehow we have, you know, maybe it's saying the tradition is the Sitre El, and that we have some tradition and follow it, even if we don't necessarily understand it.
And it's literally mitachat imo, because it's mitachat her skin. So it's like, that's the
connection. Right, that's the connection of the imo, exactly. Okay, new Mishnah. Shalosh granot lamasir behema. There's three times of year where you would count your sheep or your whatever, all your animals. You would put them in. You would do this three times a year. Okay, and now we're going to learn that what does this mean three times a year? What it means is the rabbis instituted that you should do it three times a year, even though, what did we say, it goes by the year, basically. The rabbis instituted to do it three times a year. And also we're going to see, well, maybe I'll wait till the end of the mission, you'll see the ramifications. Now there's going to be a machloket about which three times of year, and we'll get more into this tomorrow when we get to the Gemara. Bifrosa Pesach, that means half the time, that's a month before Pesach, so it basically means half a month before Pesach. Bifros Atzeret, half a month before Shavuot. Ubefros hachag, and half a month before Sukkot. This is a pretty obvious answer, right? 15 days before every chag. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, right? The Shalosh Regalim, anyway. Ben Azai Omer, Be'eshrim v'tisha ba'adar, Be'echad b'sivan, Be'eshrim v'tisha ba'av. He had different dates. He said 29th of Adar, 1st of Sivan, and 29th of Av. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omerim, Be'echad v'nisan, Be'echad b'sivan, Be'kavtev Elul. 1st of Nisan, 1st of Sivan, 29th of Elul. Now this seems strange. He should say really 1st of Nisan, 1st of Sivan, and 1st of Tishrei. So the Mishnah is going to say, "Belama amru be'eshrim b'tisha be'elul, velo amru be'echa b'tishrei." It's actually funny. The Mishnah doesn't usually ask those kind of questions. Mipneshu yom tov. It's Rosh Hashanah. V'yif shalaser v'yom tov. You can't do maaser on yom tov. So they said the day before. L'pichach hiktimu be'eshrim b'tisha be'elul. I'd like to know who has time on Erev
exactly
Rosh Hashanah to start dealing with that. Yes, especially it was 2 days for everybody. Rabbi Meir Omer, Be'echa be'elul Rosh Hashanah l'maser behema. Okay, so now the question is, so there we had three opinions about what the dates are. We'll deal with this more later. Now we're going to say, well, what's the Rosh Hashanah? From where do we start the count? When we talk about the count of which animals can go in for the whole year, right? Where does the year start? So Rabbi Meir says the 1st of Elul, Rosh Hashanah l'maser behema. Ben Azay Omer, we really should have the third opinion first, but it would make more sense. But anyway, we're going to start with Echa Be'elul. Ben Azay says, He'elulim mitaslim b'fnei atzmam. Okay, well, I'm going to go back to Ben Azay because it'll make more sense after you see this. Kol al noladim be'echa b'tishrei ad esrim b'tisha be'elul, hare elu mitzdarfim. Okay, according to this third opinion, anything from the 1st of Tishrei till the 29th of Elul, which really means Echa b'tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. So if we have one opinion that says Echa be'elul, one opinion that says Echa b'tishrei, so that explains Ben Azai's opinion. Ben Azai says that all the ones in the month of Elul are Sefek. Do they go with that year? Do they go with that year? And therefore he says, put the ones from Elul all together by themselves. They don't go with anything else. Chamisha lefnei Rosh Hashanah. So now according to this third opinion, if you have five before Rosh Hashanah, the chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah, einan mitzdarfim. Okay, you can't put them together. Chamisha lefnei hagorin, v'chamisha l'achar hagorin, but those other dates we talked about, the three dates within the year, if you have five before and five after, hare elu mitzdarfim, they do join up. So now they say, imkein lama ne'emru shalosh legranot, lema'aser behema, why then, what's the point? And it's, we assumed, or at least one might assume, if you have these three dates, that means those are dates. Do the ones there, right? Do the next ones in the next group. Do the next ones in the next group, and that those tarichim are kovea, which you know who the animals can go with. So if it's not, then what's the point? Sha'ad shelo higia hagoren, until the goren mutar limkor v'lishchot. You could do anything you want with those animals. You could sell them. You can shech them. You don't have to worry about it. But higia hagoren, but as soon as that date hits, one of those three dates, again, this is only midrabanan, then it becomes like trumot ha'masor and your produce. Until you take trumot ha'masor out and your produce, you're not allowed to eat it. Likewise with maser behema, until you do the maser behema, actually higia hagoren mutar limkor v'lishchot. Higia hagoren lo yishchot, and also lo yimkor, even though it doesn't say it. Vim shachat patur. But b'dievet, if you did it, it's okay. And why is that? Because if you remember, I set up that it's different. There is no Isser, and this is why we said maybe Maser Behemah, it's easy not to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because there's no Isser if you didn't do it. Well, there's no Isser D'Oraita. There's an Isser D'Rabbanan. The rabbis instituted that if you don't do it, obviously when the rabbis then said you don't have to do Maser Behemah, so that was no longer in existence. Okay, but theoretically, when they were doing Maser Behemah, each of these three dates, whichever dates you go by, that was what was kovea, that at this until that point you could do anything with your animals. If it's not yet time for master, so we don't care if you sell it. But once they're yours and the date hits, then you can't do anything with them until you master, you take your master. But still they can join up as long as it's not either a Echa be'elul or a Echa b'tishrei. Okay, and that's the cutoff point for when they go in the goren.